Okay, we're here with the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Baylor.
Hola.
Lisa.
Hi.
It's goody goody yum yum.
I was
going
to say, I thought it was going to give away. Goody.
Goody, goody, yum, yum.
And Cassandra?
Yeah, hi.
You're already exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to blame it on COVID rather than the energy in the room, but you know. Yeah. I'm just like,
you're the COVID energy.
Yeah.
Angus?
Hello.
And I'm Justin. And we're doing a redemption episode today. And what redemption are we doing? We're doing The Room.
I just want to make everyone watch The Room again. April Fool's.
Yeah. No, we're doing The Goodies. We're doing two episodes, and we just had a bit of a discussion about why we're choosing them.
Discussion, argument.
But
I think we're doing...
I had to basically steal swords away from people.
Fisticuffs. Fights at dawn.
So we were between Kit and Kong. Everybody was happy with that one, but the next one was between Fun Fight at the OK Corral.
OK Tea Room.
OK Tea Room.
Oh.
Fun Fight at the OK Tea Room. And the other one was...
Snooze.
Yes. And we were discussing sort of the ageing of, you know, how they were at the end of the series versus... But we also wanted to see between the two favourites, these favourites.
So in true Goodies style, Lisa and I have decided to make a bet.
Yeah.
Which one we think she'll like the most, and hopefully she likes one of them at least.
She being Mackenzie.
Because Lisa put her foot in her mouth and said, I think Mackenzie will like Snooze more than
Kit and Kong.
No, you did not.
I think she would like Kit and Kong. I said she would like Kit and Kong. I said she would like Snooze more than Bun Fight.
Either way, I want to see which one she likes more.
I do too.
Otherwise, the plastic tomatoes come out.
So you've got one.
You've made the same bet then. You're both betting the Mackenzie.
Yeah, this is now ridiculous.
The Snooze. Okay.
Classic Goodies style.
You've stuffed it up.
Yeah.
The important thing is not to fight against each other, is to fight against the issue. And so we are teaming up to fight against the issue, which is... Which episode would she like more? Yeah. Will she like any episode? And I guess the whole point of the redemption was to find these episodes that we don't feel like were given a fair shake the first time round.
Yeah.
And I think we did discuss this earlier, but this was our very first episode was a Goodies episode. And it was the Radio Goodies episode, which is a good episode in its own right as well.
And very active.
Goodies.
Boom. But it was because it was our first episode, we really didn't know each other very well. It's been, how long have we been recording now?
5 years, but I think it was also the first time you and Cassandra met Justin.
Yes, I met Baylor.
I saw Baylor. I was like, who is this person?
Literally 1 hour beforehand, and it was like, oh, you're coming to this, right? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, I'll happily watch the Goodies with you guys. And then I was dragged into a podcast.
Yes. And that was in the old recording studio.
No, it was at the PA.
Yeah. It was at the PA, in the bike room.
And it was so echoey.
Yeah. And we were watching it on the laptop. And
It was.
It wasn't the best.
No.
We've tweaked it since then. We've worked it all out, and now we talk over the top of each other.
It's fucking brilliant.
We bag each other all the
it's
time.
It's so good.
Now you're making bets.
We were so polite to each other in that very first episode. And
I wanted to know what the stakes were in this bet, but it's
the same thing.
We're betting on the same thing, but the stakes. Yeah, let's put down some stakes.
What's the reward?
Okay, medium rare.
I stab you through the heart with a piece of wood.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and you cook me a steak.
How about would Kenzie draw a piece of art for the winner?
Yes.
Kenzie draws the winner.
Can I also agree with you on your bet?
And it's not actually a winner in this because we both agreed.
Yeah.
Kenzie does a piece of art for her favourite episode.
Ooh.
How does that sound?
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mackenzie is already drawing Kit and Kong.
That's a very strange looking kitten. Yes, yeah. Okay, so what are these two episodes that we're watching? We're Snooze and Kitten Kong.
And Kitten Kong.
Yeah. So what's Snooze about, Jeanette?
Snooze was the first episode I ever watched, and Lisa and I both agreed it's one of our favourites.
The choice was between Snooze and the Bung Fire at the OKT room. Mm. But Jeanette won out because there were less people that had seen it in the group, which gives us a fresher view on it. Take it away, Jeanette.
It's been a very long time since I watched it. But basically, this is very early, and it's when they're still running the job agency, taking jobs. They're basically like an advertising agency, and they get a job to market a new sleeping product.
Are we talking about the plot as opposed to watching the plot?
Yes.
Yes.
This is a new development. I don't quite agree with, but that's fine. I'm fussy like.
So this is like the second episode of all time. Yes. Like this is the first season, second episode.
The first episode was the Beefeaters, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Classic, great, fantastic.
And that's a really good episode. Yeah, it's all right. I just like Snooze that little bit. And I think the first season, they kind of went in a lot of different directions and they threw a lot of stuff at the wall.
Mm. Well, it is anything, anywhere, anytime.
It is.
Yeah. Which I think follows very heavily in the Monty Python side of things. They wanted to initially call their show It. So they tried really hard to copyright it initially. I know this isn't about Monty Python. This is just a fun fact. They tried
the Monty Python TV show, you mean?
Yeah, The Flying Circus. Oh, they tried to call it It.
I thought you were talking about the goodies then.
No, which is why there's like a man that runs up and goes, It! And so I feel like the goodies definitely honed that very well with their episodes because they are literally just anything, anywhere, anytime, and it can be anything.
Yeah,
because they came from the same school. They were
part of the Footlights.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Footlights.
Yeah.
So they were all good friends, and they'd worked together quite a bit. So
because they were part of the same.
Tim Taylor comedy. Was a law student.
Brad
one was studying medicine, and Oddie English. Was doing English. Yes. Yeah.
And Bill Oddie became an ornithologist.
Yeah. He did.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Bird watching. And there's actually an episode that speaks to that, apparently.
Yes, yeah, there's a dodo episode.
Oh, there's a dodo episode, but I think there's also bird-related.
There's a couple of bird-related episodes. And
they were in the sort of same period as Graham Chapman, John Cleese and Eric Idle.
Yeah, they all came through together.
So it's very similar humour. That was 63 and 60... Cambridge University Footlights Club, Tim Brooke Taylor being president in 63 and Garden succeeding him in 64. And in 65, it was Eric Idle.
He's a few years younger, isn't he?
Yeah.
So then the goodies are like, what, this episode's 1970, first season, then I think it goes up to 1980.
Okay. That's a long time to
stuff. The goodies was actually bigger in Australia than it was in England, considering it was made in England, and they had to kind of save it from being canned a few times.
67 half-hour episodes. That's
the reason why it finally did get canned was the budget meant to create Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy BBC.
Really?
So the goodies went, I think, to ITV for about a year, but they didn't last on. But the reason also it was more popular in Australia is in England it was shown late at night or something. In Australia it was shown right before Doctor Who. Every weeknight.
Every weeknight. And was repeated endlessly.
It was seen as adult just like humour in England, not kids' humour.
Yeah,
as Justin said, repeated endlessly.
We used to run around in the front yard and pretend we were the goodies when I was a kid.
Oh, that's cute.
But then...
Just imagine little Lisa being...
If Goodies was nominated for a BAFTA for Best Light Entertainment Program in 76, losing to the two Ronnies. What do people think about that?
It's also worth noting that, I don't know, we must have a stalker. We were given the folio of the Goodies.
Yeah. The Goodies files.
Yes.
They also lost a BAFTA to the Benny Hill show.
Thank you to whoever decided to drop that off.
They must have known that we were going to be doing this episode.
Yes. Yeah. It was so well timed.
I don't know if that's the weird thing or the fact that someone dropped it off.
How did they know when we didn't? I thought we were doing the room.
I like the idea that it was the Goodies mail service that did it.
Yes. It was the Goodies mail service. Yeah. The Goodies sent us there.
Yeah. Perfect.
And now a walk in the Black Forest.
Which is how this podcast all began.
Yes. Do you want to tell that story, Jeanette?
So early on, Lisa had just joined the committee And we'd always, from time to time, get people come on the committee saying, you know, we're supposed to be a radio station, and we were discussing this and saying, well, we've got no music. Where would we get music from for, you know, running 24 hours? And said, we'd have the one record. And Lisa popped up and said, yes, a walk in the Black Forest. And I was like, oh, my goodness, there's somebody else who got the reference. I didn't expect anyone
to. And hence the Cult TV Club.
And, yeah. And we went, we need to sit down and talk about the these good, cult shows
yes,
that
yes.
other people in the room have forgotten about except for us.
So that's how it all began.
And Cass was like, I will totally join you doing that.
Yeah, I think I just like, hey, that sounds fun. Watch all stuff.
And
I think
Angus lived in the same house.
Yeah.
I was convenient.
Yeah. And like my role apparently for the past few years has been I notice obscure show which everybody apparently loves.
Yeah.
So that's I guess a good thing to have.
Better than Lisa's role of bringing awful shows.
I've got that this job this year, bringing the show that everyone will hate.
Oh,
what
are you Doctor Who, Sixth Doctor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Slamming Colin Baker.
Who's Colin Baker? The worst writing, the worst Doctor. Acting, the worst everything, and the worst costume.
Kenzie's finally at a stage where she's like, oh, I'm really keen to learn about these older Doctors. And I said, well, we've been doing them every year for the last how many years? And she's going, oh, so she's keen to join us this year when we do the Doctor. And I'm going, I'm sorry, it's going to be the worst one.
It's going to be bad.
But you can hate watch it with us, babe.
There are some very good Doctors and a lot of good episodes that we've just missed.
David Tennant.
Something something David Tennant.
David Tennant, if you're watching that.
That's
is
not
there
creepy.
A crush happening here?
No, I'm just saying.
Sound like a crush at all.
No, it's just I want to see him perform Doctor Who.
So the Goodies episode we're watching, Kit and Kong, the episode Kit and Kong is the Montreux 72 edition, not the original 71 version, which apparently is not about. So this is a version that was made for a festival, Rose d'Or, held in Montreux, Switzerland, in 72. Ah. It's kind of a remake.
And I think this must be the episode I watched, because I was surprised when it wasn't available. And I'm like, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I reckon it must be.
It must be this one.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get on and have a look and come back and see if it's redeemed or not.
Redemption! Huzzah!
It's more redeeming us in this one because we didn't know each other. More redeeming our discussion of the goodies.
That puts the pressure on. Okay.
We'll also be re-watching our discussion on the goodies as part of it.
Yes.
So.
No.
Goodies!
Okay, so we just watched the Goodies. We watched two episodes. Which one was the best, Kenzie? Any of them any good?
I'm saying that...
She wrote on the tissue.
Kit and Kong.
You like Kit and Kong? So who won?
I think they both agree.
Which means Mackenzie needs to do a piece of art of Kit and Kong.
Yes!
So what did people think? I guess the question is, how does it hold up in regard to the past? We've all seen it many, many times before.
I haven't.
You haven't? Oh, there you go.
No!
Right.
That's
so we have first. Someone. We have someone. So
yes, experiments. Yes.
Yeah. You're the experimental victim along with Mackenzie. Yes. What did you think of the...
It's very bad. Slapstick's silly. Yeah, it's quite silly. It's quite fun. I'm trying to work out whether or not it's timeless or if it's just silly enough to be...
I definitely feel like it's a bit timeless.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt the same way.
I don't think it's more... The only reason why it wouldn't be timeless is because tastes and comedy has changed. So I think, like, I haven't seen anything even remotely slapsticky like this for years, because we don't make stuff like that anymore. And whether or not it's, like, it would be timeless if we still made that kind of stuff.
It's definitely a relic of a bygone age.
Yes, 100%, but I also think it would be timeless in the sense that it's not making a lot of references to the times.
Mm. Yeah.
There are a couple of Rolf Harris references.
Don't age well.
Rolf Harris puts me to sleep all the time.
In the defense, they don't talk very lovingly to Rob about Rolf Harris.
No, they don't.
Show, but yeah.
But he's always the bait. That
like, you're thinking of Bill. Bill's always the bait.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like at some point in time you fall in love with each of them separately in their own way.
At the moment it just feels like I could probably pick apart this kind of humour that they play to, but I'm still can't really get a deal on the characters themselves because I've only seen 10 episodes worth, so I can get an idea of, oh, Tim's the one who's emotional, overreacts, but Graham's the one who's smart and knows plans everything, and Bill's the one who gets screwed over with the as bait or as
100%.
So you say you haven't watched any episodes before.
Well, I've watched one of them before.
One of the Radio Goodies. Radio Goodies. And that's it. And so from those episodes, you know all the characters well.
Yeah, it feels like, I'm assuming that it haven't got, you got like heavy, deep characterizations that I need to go through the It's like, you kind of get a vibe of what they're doing.
You pick it up immediately.
Yeah.
Mackenzie.
So, most of the characters in the Goodies' name is like a reference to Doctor Who. Like Bill and Graham.
I didn't even think about that.
Because Bill is with
Peter
Capaldi, and then Graham is with the...
Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, that's their real names in real life. So whether the new Doctor Who have got fans of the Goodies, maybe. And they've picked those names because they like the Goodies characters.
Or maybe they just have a finite number of names in English language.
I think we discussed it when we watched this the first time, but each of them conform to a different class system. So Bill is more working class, Graham is middle class, like more capitalist and entrepreneurial, and Tim is more upper class and is more staunch monarchist and, you know...
Tim isn't in Doctor Who.
No.
So Tim, in a lot of the later episodes, has, like, Union Jack underwear.
Yes!
And wears Union Jack ties and waistcoats like and stuff.
And plays God Save the Queen whenever he can.
That's all I remember from when I was a kid with his Union Jack, and the God Save the Queen would kick in, and he was all like... And I always thought he was quite camp when I was a kid. And I thought there was maybe a camp reference.
Because there was an advertisement where they butch... Butch tobacco.
Yes.
So, Jeanette, what did you think? You've watched it quite a few times before.
I actually was surprised that a lot of the slapstick in it is very clever.
Yes.
It's very original and clever. It's not just mindless slapstick. It's actually really clever slapstick. So I was actually admiring the way they do slapstick in it a lot. And I don't think I'd ever appreciated as a kid just how clever a lot of that is. I love the ads. And later on they do the baked beans ads. I really like these early series where they have the ads.
How did you enjoy the Star Trek reference? Did anyone pick up on the Star Trek reference?
No.
So they had a tribble in it. So I did have to quickly double check, and the trouble with tribbles did come out before Kit and Kong by 10 years.
Sorry,
4 years.
There you go. I didn't realise that was a triple reference.
There was also
reference.
A toy that you could get that was that fluffy thing, and it had a piece of rubber thing so you could pet it and it would run, and you could do that trick as a kid that was sold.
So I don't know if this will be picked up on this, but there's a thundering up and down on the ceiling above us, and that is our very own Kit and Kong running around.
I think what helps with that episode as well is that cage. Yes.
Going back to what you were saying, I think that's why the slapstick still holds up now, is because we don't do as much slapstick anymore because it's always dumb slapstick, getting smacked in the face and stuff. Yeah. It's physical harm sort of slapstick as opposed to clever slapstick and silly things, silly for the sake of being silly. I think if slapstick comedy follows more of a Charlie Chaplin side of things. As opposed to the Goodies, which is a clever sort of thing.
The interesting thing was earlier we compared it with Monty Python. And I actually think that this is more timeless than the original Monty Python.
It holds up like
it holds up better than if you watch those early, you know. Of course there are really good skits in Monty Python, but in terms of consistency, 67 episodes of that, and they managed to maintain it pretty damn well.
Because can you name an episode of the Monty Python Flying Circus where all their skits and stuff are fantastic?
Can you name an episode?
Exactly.
Yeah, because I think it's just how sketch shows work. Yeah. They can't really optimize.
They're the same skits, but they're usually relatively small, self-contained things. These people were able to come up with full episodes.
I think I
ideas.
Liked the goodies because it's a story in every episode. Yes. I'm not a big fan of skit comedy anyway.
Yeah. The narrative.
Yeah, I like to have a narrative. And
yeah, it's basically just doing silly stuff for half an hour. Yes. It eventually just gets like, it's not grating, but just, this is just the purpose of it. May as well just...
Yeah.
But it's there's a storyline, but it I guess in the same way that most sitcoms would kind of stop and start each week, but they actually, the backstory is so open. They're like that anywhere, anytime, anyhow type of thing. Yes. So they can go in any direction they feel like.
Yes,
and it's basically like there's three guys, they've got an office, they've got money, and they're basically odd jobs for hire type of thing. Yeah. And then that just gives them free range, like really open. They don't ever need to get pigeonholed.
No. No. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Which is also interesting, an interesting fact about the Flying Circus series.
Yes.
Is that that sort of comedy does exist nowadays. Skit comedy is actually quite popular, but it's on YouTube, and YouTube Shorts, and TikTok, Instagram,
and stuff,
And also you don't need to work, you basically only... You don't need like half an hour every week, so you don't need to...
The format is gone, but has changed and adapted.
Yeah. But I think it works much better in that way, because if you're just bored, you can just watch a quick skit.
And also,
you're not sitting watching an hour of some good, some bad.
And also, because it's more of a collaborative is probably the wrong word, but just a more diverse medium, where instead of having a group of three people or six people doing every skit, you have the entire internet doing stuff and putting their own spin on jokes and having it work, having it
and it makes those collaborations a little bit more enjoyable. Like we talked about it briefly, but the COVID Princess Bride where these famous people acted out short scenes and then put it all together kind of thing. That works very nicely.
Talking of COVID, I think we need to just mention Tim Brooke Taylor, because we did do an obituary, but there was background noise and I wasn't able to use it.
I didn't realise you didn't use it.
So Tim Brooke Taylor died of COVID back in the very early days in 2020, was it now?
I think it was 2021 he passed away.
So before the vaccinations were available or anything, he was...
I think an appropriate question here going forward is, which goodie do we vibe with?
Oh, definitely Graham.
Graham's your spirit animal, really. When I was a kid, I loved Tim, but as an adult watching it, I love Graham.
When I was a youngster, I loved Bill, big fan of Bill. Then I wanted to be Graham, and now I think I'm Tim, where I have mental breakdowns at the smallest drop of anything. I'm not patriotic like Tim, but I am, like, I hold dear to myself Star Wars, so that could count.
Yeah.
I play Star Wars theme music and I feel especially patriotic.
I was worried for a second, because I was worried we wouldn't mention Star Wars.
Oh, well, I made sure that I dropped it in, don't worry.
Yeah,
I think I'll be Bill with the love of animals and the rebelliousness.
I think I grew up liking Tim. I think Tim was my favourite when I was younger, but I don't know now. I haven't seen enough of it in recent years to really be able to...
I think you're definitely a Bill in the sense that he's a rebel. There's an episode where he's like just a full-blown rebel and has like a safety pin through his head. I definitely can see you like that.
Gee, thanks.
Okay, so what do you think I am then?
No, this is personal opinion.
I can do it for Angus.
It's who you vibe with.
Who's
your favourite?
I'm bad with favourites. The only favourites I'm good with are the ones that you can... the chocolates.
Always Turkish Delight.
I was going to say it. Turkish Delight fan.
Tim.
Okay.
Yep. Same reason that I liked him. You just have breakdowns all the time. It's brilliant. We can vibe together.
Yeah.
So, Mackenzie, do you think that'd be something you'd watch? Or is it something you wouldn't? Not really?
So is it like something that's nice but you wouldn't want to watch it? Or is it like you don't want to watch it because it's bad?
It is nice, but I don't want to go out of my way and watch it.
Okay, that works. That's fair.
Like...
We'll watch it with you in, like, 10 years' time. Maybe it's a thing where you need to be old and grizzled.
No, I was your age when I got into it as a kid.
Yeah, but
she's... If this was on before Bluey, man, like, it would be, you know...
Yeah
you'd watch it while waiting to watch Bluey.
Yeah,
but even then, it wouldn't compare to Bluey. That's the thing.
I mean, I think you got into it when you were younger, right? But that was an earlier time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was in the 80s. Yeah. And we're talking, probably about mid-80s I would have got into it.
So it's lasted some elements of the passing of time, but it's definitely not mainstream. I don't think it would fit in before Bluey.
So when they did like their revamp and remastered the whole collection and stuff, Snooze actually wasn't in it. And a lot of the things that did political, well, not even political, but like nods towards things that were happening around the time didn't actually make it through. I think there was one that I do remember, which was about the censorship on TV. The mimicry of an X, if anyone wants to know. That was definitely one that made it through, but it was mainly things like the OK Tea Room, the Beanstalk episode, the first episode with the Beef Eaters. It wasn't really making nods to anything like that. So I know that Snooze is a beloved episode for many people, but that never actually made it onto the remaster.
It's actually political.
Yeah.
There's a lot of satire in the Goodies.
Yeah.
And Snooze has a lot of satire in it.
Yeah.
I remember there was one about basically satirising the state of public health in England. Which didn't mean much to me when I watched it as a kid. When I got to England, and first time I ever had to go into a emergency ward in a hospital, I just had those words running through my head. So they walk into the hospital and say, oh, this is disgusting, this place isn't fit for pigs. And the head of the hospital says, yes, that's what the RSPCA said, so we had to move the pigs out last week.
Yeah.
So. On a remastered one that they did one about the police being corrupt.
Oh, that's the episode after Snooze, I think.
Police a chance. Yeah, that's black and white. You can't see that.
No, there is a remastered.
No, I know, but before the remaster, it was black and white. Oh. It wasn't even coloured. That was the only surviving version of it beforehand. It
came from the ABC.
Yeah.
The police episode, that's the one where they have to dress up as policemen and try and give the police good PR because it's like, the police are getting a bad rap.
And Tim spends the entire time going, oh, I don't know what the problem is. And then they spend like a day out.
That's it.
And they get arrested for like trying to walk across the road or do something. Like, they end up just standing there and getting a ticket for just standing.
Standing on the grass.
They're moving their bike forward and the police are like trying to catch up by the double yellow lines.
And Bill's just like, he decides to goad them on, being rebellious, and he dresses like a skinhead, which I didn't get the reference when I was younger. And then I'm like,
that was skinhead,
and they just bonk him on the head as soon as he walks out the door.
Did still have some remastered political ones, but they were still outrageous.
Yeah.
They had one that was a later season one, which was the apartheid episode, but it was apartheid. And so it was, everyone was being prejudiced against it was under a certain height.
Bill being the victim.
Yeah, I think so. But they weren't afraid to kind of go in those directions and really make pointed. There was a Protestant versus Catholic episode, which I think was like they were playing, the priests were playing soccer against each other or something. It was a really weird episode. Like, I can't remember it very well, but it was then looking back on it as an adult, I was like, wow, this could have got them in a lot of trouble back in the 70s. So,
That's the thing, because I'd like to see how well that's aged, because there's a lot of stuff in there that, like, I'm guessing the police episode might be more political now because of how the police have done in recent years. But some of our stuff might not make sense anymore.
Well, back then there was a huge police corruption in the Met particularly.
Yeah, because like now I think of how what the police are doing, it's more shooting innocent black people, which is a different thing.
Yeah.
I think I've said this a couple of times, but I really want to see the Goodies revamped in this generation. Not the Goodies of 2024, but someone filling that spot.
But yeah, someone else doing something like that.
Yeah, because like you've got people that will make notes of it. Like there's a lot of trios that will are happy to make points about it. Like you've got Tripod that that have made songs about it or spoken about it or anything like that. Another one is Hat Films. They constantly make
YouTube people.
But they're not.
The problem is
they're not making TV shows.
Yeah, I mean, I was also just thinking as well, like, if I were a creator today, whether I'd want to go on TV, because it'd have to be, like, a lot more oversight, a lot more control from the highers up. And then,
because,
I mean, there's a lot of restrictions on YouTube where I've seen creators basically censor their language to oblivion to keep monetized, but I don't, I think it'll be a lot worse in terms of, they have a lot of control. I mean, it's totally a double-edged sword of, they control everything, but the downside is they have to control everything in terms of editing and stuff. I don't think, if I was working today, I wouldn't want to be on TV because we could talk a lot more of what I can say, what I can do to appease
audiences. So this is interesting because, there's a lot of stuff like that happening at the moment through media. It's really sad because there's a lot of voices getting silenced, like within the trans communities, within black communities as well, Native Australian communities, and they're trying to speak out about the issues that they're having while, like, cis white women and cis white men have got platforms where they speak bigotry and are not censored.
I think that happens across YouTube, that happens across
Twitter. And I'm also just assuming that there's being a bit, not cynical, or is that word cynical or also conspiratorial, that there's a lot of people who want to spend money to promote these things. And so, So, like, I was thinking of all the people who are being funded by groups to, who have got some money, who are wanting to promote their narrow views, and minor creators can't do that because they don't have the resources.
And I completely agree. And I feel like if the Goodies was a thing now, they would definitely get shut down immediately. I want to see something that pushes boundaries and that just isn't...
I think you could probably redo the Goodies episode for episode and just animate them. Like Mr. Bean animated, and then throw that at a younger audience, and I think that would be...
I think it might
things that would fly under the radar.
Yeah, but I think...
But a whole bunch of adults would go, oh, they're redoing the Goodies as an animation.
But could you imagine the think about the childrening that would go on with something like that? There are episodes of Bluey that have been pulled in the US.
Oh, yeah, that's the US.
And it's like, oh, my God, you know. So it's... Is it called Daddy Baby or something like that? Something like that. I feel like the Goodies, especially the episodes we watch, were quite kid-friendly.
Yeah.
They always have those underlying things, and I don't even know whether those underlying things would be able to get past, even though they're so subtle.
I'd be surprised if they did, but I think that would be a commentary on modern society.
Yeah, that's it. I'd also just think as well is that stuff that people are upset about now, this would fly under the radar because it's not politically correct in the same way that we would see it today. So it's not as though they're promoting a woke agenda, therefore they can get the messages they can out because they're doing different messages.
I think if people would still complain about it, they'd go, oh, this is part of the woke agenda, blah, 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 with the Goodies. Even though it's, you know, decades old, it's from the 70s, people would still cry about it. And
I think the interesting thing as well is that the dad being the mum in Bluey being pulled. They've also pulled episodes in America that are related to, like, fecal matter. And
Which is one of the funniest episodes I've seen, where it's just, it's perfect, but it was too far. It was like,
For America.
That's the thing, though.
But then you've got the third Harry Potter film. They were so proud of themselves. I'm really sorry because I know Harry Potter is a trigger for a lot of people. But I find this fact really funny. They were so proud of animating a poop sequence into the hippogriff scene. So there's a wide shot of Harry and the hippogriff, and Harry bows, and the hippogriff just lifts its tail up a little bit and drops a couple of poops, and that's it. And I do remember in the behind-the-scenes creation of it, they were like, yeah, we edited this in. This is hilarious. They were so proud of it. And whereas now, I don't think you'd be able to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to get Harry Potter for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can't have, like, little animated poop sequences that make people happy. Yeah.
The thing about it is such a real experience, though. Like, have you seen the scene that they pulled? It's like they're at the fair and they've got these beautiful little ponies that the kids can go on the rides on. And this pony's supposed to be like a unicorn, so it's got a little fake horn on it and whatever. And it's got all of the rainbow colours. What is it they say, Kenzie? It's like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, it's got a stupid name, like rainbow or honeysuckle or something, and it's like, you're so beautiful, honeysuckle, I love you so much, and the horse just goes and just drops his poop because that's what freaking ponies do. And the kids are all like, ah! You know, because it's just taken this really beautiful moment and just humanized, or not humanized it, but just
canonized it.
Made it real. How often has that happened where you just go, oh, these ponies are just so beautiful and lovely, and it's just like, and then there's just this pile of horse poo that you've just stepped in, you know, and it's just like,
I think I've done that at, like, an Australia Day in Sydney at Emerald Park. I was like, oh my goodness, there are camels, when I was 8 or 7 or something. And then just saw a camel poop and I'm like, oh, they do that. Like, that's what
it's such a human experience for kids to have.
So weird that it's a censored topic.
I know that we shock
a lot of Americans just on our regular humour, the way we talk, the things we talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure the fact that we let slide a lot of swear words in the presence of a 9-year-old kid, I'm sure we would get cancelled by Americans if they found that out.
Cass, you are like nothing compared to what she goes sorry, I have a potty mouth.
I learned to swear from the kids when they were at school. I got home from school and I picked it up from them.
Yeah.
But
basically just the fact that in comparison, the US invented the term HE double hockey sticks because even the word hell is profanity in their eyes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Wild.
Just the fact that we are so crude and they're just so straight-laced.
So much censorship.
Yeah. Andy Griffith, who wrote The Day My Bum Went Psycho.
He
talked about the different covers of the books.
Mm.
And, the Australian cover and the American cover was so sanitised. Mm. And even the name had to be changed.
Oh, yeah.
Wild how much needs to be changed for the US as well. Like,
TV shows get censored all the time.
I was just going to mention briefly, there was one moment where a late-night show described a random person with a C word, and the jokes here in Australia is we tend to get more upset. We don't get upset when people use profanity. We tend to get more upset at kids being killed in schools.
Yes, exactly. This show has never held up in the US and wouldn't hold up in the US anyway. No, but how it would hold up in the UK and the way that their comedy is done now, I think comedy tends to be a little bit more highbrow these days in the UK. Please correct me, though.
I think it is, but I actually think this is highbrow slapstick. For slapstick,
they finally stopped watching Mock the Week. That show's finally ended.
Oh, yeah.
That went for, like, 20 years or something.
Yeah.
I don't know that British humour is really that highbrow when you have Richard Ayoade throwing a tantrum over people stealing his lollies during a quiz show.
I guess there's a lot of different comedy in the UK, but it's like detectivists, which is very dry and slow.
Yeah. But again, I'm also just thinking that, again, the kind of people who are pushed the envelope, they're not on TV anymore because they don't want to have the oversight.
Mm. That's right, they're on YouTube.
There's a TV show in Britain, I can't remember what it's called, but it's got Alex Horn and Greg Davies in it.
Taskmaster.
That's Snap. It.
Oh, yes.
And their comedy is very much belittling Alex Horn the entire show. And it's interesting that is comedy now.
But these are all reality. Every single example that I've been hearing have all been reality shows.
Yeah, it's like sitcoms. Right?
And I'm thinking, like, the sitcoms that are around, I mean, we got into Ghosts, but is there other stuff that's around at the moment?
Detectives is sitcom.
There's a new show coming out, The Made Up Adventures of Dick Turpin.
Yes.
Which is probably going to be more silly. It won't be like this, but it's done by one of the guys behind Mighty Boosh. Not Fielding.
In Betweeners. But that's a little bit more. Not that I've watched a lot of it, but it's more edgy, isn't it?
It's more kind of teenage.
I think if you have things that sort of fall under that category or that banner is now edgy and uncomfortable sort of humour, like Sex Ed as well, I think would come to that.
I just started watching Sex Ed this week. I'm loving it. I've smashed through. I watched the last episode of season yesterday and I was just like, I'm not doing anything until I watch this episode. And she was like, go to the shower! I need to finish this episode. Yeah, no. Oh my God, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yes.
But I do have to jolt myself a bit and go, I'm actually like the same age as the parents, not the kids.
That's the thing. That's like something.
There's a few times where I kind of feel a bit hinky when I go, oh, these are 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds.
So I felt that way initially too, but apparently they're all adults.
In real life.
So it doesn't feel as icky, but it still feels...
They do look like they're under 18, but I do have to go then, because then I'm looking at like the relationships and stuff and I'm going, I'm really relating to this mum, and then I'm going, oh yeah, because she's my age.
I think I watched the first three series of Sex Education and I'm like, this is awesome, I'm really enjoying this. I didn't watch the fourth season and I'm like, I'm watching a lot with Baylor and then watch the fourth season together because Baylor needs to see this, it's brilliant. and the fourth season is not good.
Oh, no!
No.
The first three seasons were really, really good.
You can stop at the fourth season easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
I think I said it last time I was here as well, but so similar, like I said to Adrian, he watched the episode 8 with me, and that was the thing. He's like, we need to be getting ready. I'm, no, I've got to watch this. And I said, look, I am more than happy to start again from the beginning so we can watch all this together, because I think they'll enjoy it. But he's like, we have so much we need to watch right now. We just can't.
Yeah.
But I got him onto Bodies. Has anyone else seen Bodies? Really good. It's probably very few times that I will yell at the television. Just yell, like, as in not frustration, but like things would happen and I'd just be like, no! Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening right now. You're like, just, you know, just exuberance. It's, yeah, like, it's gripped me like nothing else. So that was really exciting. Which was a nice palate cleanser from It's a Sin that I watched.
Oh,
you recommended
UK?
Yeah, I didn't realise there was a US version, but yeah, that UK one,
yeah.
I had in my queue forever and you recommended it and I laughed and I cried and then I cried more.
Yeah.
And
Meanwhile, I've been watching Monk.
I watched Monk when it came out on Prime.
I've been really enjoying
it. It's a comfort show, isn't it?
However, they just changed the assistant to the new assistant, and I'm like, the old one was so much better.
That's how
they
it goes.
They just had personality, and this new assistant feels like they don't have personality. And
I think,
like,
from what I read, she asked for a pay rise because she was becoming so popular, and said, I know that I don't deserve what he's getting, but... Come on, guys.
Yeah.
And they went, no, we're just going to write you out then.
Yeah.
And then the show went...
Okay, so food? I guess we're finished watching it and up to food.
Oh, good Lord, this has got to be something
good. It needs to be something yum yum.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Goody, goody, yum yum.
So not lollipops then?
No, something that I will just happily devour endlessly.
Hey. Hot cross buns.
Stolen.
That's actually a good one.
Wait, what?
It's not very British.
It's not,
but
at the same time, Stolen is a great suggestion. So Stolen is
a little of Russia from the
knife. No, it's like a Dutch German?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas log. It's covered in iced sugar, has fruit mixed through it, and there's this bar of marzipan. And it's so good, and I will eat an entire kilo of Stolen in one sitting quite happily. I'll go, yep, this is my breakfast for today, and my lunch, and dessert. And then it's all gone, and I will just eat it all, and it's amazing. I will endlessly eat it through the Christmas period. I must have gone through like 12, 13 things of Stolen.
15.
Yeah.
Oh my God. 15.
I'm trying to Google this, but
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie, what is the emoji for the goodies?
A cat.
Yeah.
A cat. Oh, cat emoji.
Nice.
Is it one of those happy cat emojis?
Oh, yeah, because you can have multiple different cat emojis.
Oh, yeah. Happy cat.
A happy cat.
Ooh. Okay. Okay, so that was the Classic Cult TV Club, and we've just finished watching The Goodies, and we'll see you in a month's time. Goody, goody, yum, yum.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Off to Sleepy Bobos.
Yeah, I'm basically at Sleepy Bobos stage right now.
I tried to make Sleepy Bobos a thing, and it never worked.